Me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Remain standing. John chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5 and then jump down to verses 10 through 14. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And then we'll jump down to verses 10 through 14. If you'll read the even verses out loud with me, I'll read the odd verses. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then down to verse number 10 through 14. John chapter 1, 1 through 5, and 10 through 14. I'll read the odd verses, you'll read the even verses out loud with me. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse number 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's pray. God, we do thank You so much, Lord, for You coming down here. Lord, the whole reason we get to celebrate this time is because You came, the Son of God, Lord, the everlasting Father, the mighty God. I ask You please be with us now as we take some time this morning, Lord, as we already have, to give You honor and glory for the things that You have done. And we look forward to the things that You're going to do through our lives. I ask You please be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
I want to help you today. I don't know that it's going to come out like a soft, pretty Christmas sermon. I'm going to preach today, but I am going to preach truth. We have been given so much religiosity that is garbage and have believed it so long, I don't think Christians really understand the whole truth about Christmas. And I want to help you today. I call this robed in flesh. Jesus has always been God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You say, "Well, how is that, preacher?" Well, I'm a husband, I'm a son, and I'm a dad. Same person. God has the ability to separate those into three different figures, so to speak. But it's all one person. Everybody understand that? So, well, I don't understand that because you're not God and neither am I. You see, He is God the Son, but He's also the Word of God. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the" what?
Word.
Is that a small W or capital? Oh, capital W. A capitalized noun means it's talking about a specific person, place, thing, or idea. Now watch this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word," capital W, "was with God, and the Word," what's the next one? "Was God." Look down at verse 14. "And the Word," small W or capital? "Was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We know that Jesus is the Word of God. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, it comes, when He comes back at the end, it says that written on His vesture is His name, the Word of God.
Amen.
By the way, that means you have to have the right word or you got the wrong Jesus.
Amen.
We don't need new versions. We need the right one.
Yes, sir.
That's the King James Bible.
Amen.
Jesus was the designer model for what God intended man to be. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1. Don't turn there yet. God said, let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Jesus was the designer's model. We were made in his image. It doesn't mean we were mirrored. I knew a guy that said when people die and go to heaven, everybody's going to be 33 and a half year old men. I could give you the name of the preacher. I won't. But to me, that's a little weird. I think he's been around Biden too long. But God loved man so much that he wanted a world full of people. But watch this. He wanted them to be like Jesus. Now watch this. The one difference is God gave man a free will to choose. He didn't make us a robot or a computer. May I say it this way? And I mean this when I say this. This is a very deep thought. He didn't make us to be little gods. If we were made without a will, we would be God. But isn't that amazing? When Satan came to Adam and Eve in the garden, Brother Steve, he said, if you eat of that, you could be like gods. He didn't make us to be gods. He wanted to be God. Now watch this. Man was made without sin. We chose to sin. Now watch this. I'm about to start the sermon. He did not pre-design your life. God did not wind this world up 7,000 years ago and every event's taking place exactly the way he wanted. Because the moment man sinned, man took that away from God. Don't blame God for everything that's happened in your life. And don't try to be spiritual, making everybody think that your mistakes were God's plan. Okay, 11 or 12 weeks ago when Brother Aaron pushed me out of a tree stand. I don't think that it was God's will that I have a tree stand break and I fell and shattered my heel in 11 pieces. I think it was God's will that it wasn't worse than it was. I think he said, you fool, you fool. Now, wait a minute. I don't think God wound that up 58 years ago before I was born and said, on such and such a date in October, he's going to fall out of a tree and shatter his heel. That's the way most people think about life, though. Everybody doing okay? Don't blame God for everything that happens. It's not happening exactly the way he wants it to happen unless you give him control. Amen. And even some of those things he doesn't have full control of because there's other people involved. Amen. Everybody doing okay? Now hang on. We sinned. He didn't. We messed up. He did not. And because of that, we listened to the devil and we sinned and death comes to everyone. Death comes to everything. Because God not only cursed man, he cursed the earth. Now, when man sinned, Jesus authored a plan of salvation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He authored the plan so that God could have man back in fellowship with him. You see, sin, come on up here. You'll play the part of the sinner. You do it well. Sin, go over that side. Sin separated God from man. And man could not get to God and God could not look on sin. And Jesus authored a plan, stood in heaven and said, Father, here's the plan. if I do all this, will you take man back? He said, I'll do it. Jesus came down to a man and said, you're going to have to get saved. Let me show you what that means. And he killed animals and made coats of skin. He shed blood for them. And he said, now this is going to cost me, son. My new life's verse. Genesis chapter 3. Thou shalt bruise his head and crush his head and thou shalt bruise thy heel. He said, I'm going to have to step on the devil's head and it's going to hurt me, but it's going to give you eternal life. And Jesus gave the plan of salvation to Adam and Eve and they got saved. Then man and God could fellowship again. Say, why? Because his spirit was reborn. In the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. His spirit was dead. John 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel and I say that you must be born again. You don't go the second time in your mama's womb. She wouldn't like that. You're too big, Connor. Amen. Now hang on here a second. But what has to get born? Our spirit has to get reborn. That's what being saved is all about. Thank you, sinner. You can have a seat. Jesus volunteered a plan and he said, I'll pay the price. Don't take this too personally. I hate to tell you this. He didn't do it for you. He did it for God. He wanted God to have what God the Father wanted. That happened to be us. Oh, I know the songs. If I were on the cross, while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. No, God the Father was on his mind. Hate to disappoint you. Even in our Christian songs, we're selfish. It was about God getting back what God wanted most. Everybody doing okay? We just happen to be the recipients of that. Thank God. Now, the whole premise of the plan was this. Jesus would leave heaven, be born of a virgin, live a sinless, righteous life, shed his blood at Calvary and die, be buried and resurrect and conquer death to pay our sin debt for us. That was the whole plan. Everybody doing okay? That's what it takes to pay our sin debt in full. Now listen to this statement. I'm about to jump into what I think is the main part of the sermon. It takes all components of the gospel for man to be saved. The world's putting an emphasis on the birth of Christ. But what about the rest of his life? It's not just his birth. Everybody look at me for a second. I think we do God a disservice, and I'm not looking at anybody, and if this is you, I'm not against this. I'm not preaching against this, but I need you to understand something. That's why there's no cross in here. Amen. Can I tell you why? That's only one component. That's only one part. By the way, no one part was more important than another part. Amen. They were all necessary or there is no salvation. Everybody doing okay? Religion steps in. Well, let's put the emphasis on Jesus' birth and the Immaculate Conception, so that the rest of their religion is based on what man does to get salvation. Well, if we put all of the emphasis on the cross, look what he did. He died for us, yeah. But what about his birth, his righteous life, and his resurrection? It's not one part of it more important than another. Without the virgin birth, the death at the cross means nothing. Everybody doing okay? Say, well, why did he have to come as a child, as a baby? Because Jesus couldn't leave heaven and just come to earth and die because he had a body that could not die. He had to be robed in flesh to die. Christmas is one component of the gospel. It's not all of it. It is one part. Now I'm about to get excited. Many will overemphasize Mary as the virgin. I preached a whole Wednesday night Bible study on this. I'm just going to encapsulate it in a couple sentences. The miracle of the virgin birth was not the mother. Every woman can and should be a virgin. So should every man till they get married. So the miracle was not the virgin conceiving seed. The miracle was the father who conceived seed in a virgin. Amen. By the way, if you look up Catholic doctrine, they say the Immaculate Conception was Mary, not Jesus. They put her at the level of God. That's why you can pray through Mary, because Jesus has to obey his mother then. That's what they tell you. Don't get mad at me. That's their doctrine, not mine. The miracle of the virgin birth is the father, not the mother. It took a greater person than a human being to conceive seed in a virgin's womb. Everybody doing okay? I'm trying to be appropriate here. What really is the virgin birth all about? It's more than just a child being born in a barn. It was Jesus himself coming to earth to be robed in flesh so that he could live our righteousness, die, shed his blood, and resurrect to pay our sin debt. Now, let's jump in. Number one. I want you to notice something. Look at John chapter 1, verse number 3. I love this. All things were what?
Made.
Okay, you sound like Methodist this morning. All things were what?
Made
by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Look at verse 14. And the word was what?
Made
flesh. Oh. Now watch this. Genesis 1:26 said, let us make man in our own image. Make and made. Different tense, same word. Notice twice or three times in verse number 3, once in verse number 14 of John chapter 1, and all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, the word make or made. Now everybody look at me. You look those words up, you can chase them any which way you want. It literally is the word robed. And the word was made or robed in flesh and dwelt among us. Man was made in the likeness of God without sin. Everybody look at me. God made this old ugly carcass to live forever. That's why death is very hard. It's why watching people struggle at death, because God made this body to live. It's not trying to die, it's trying to live. It was made to live. Everybody doing okay? Now hang on. You see, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quick. God made us without sin. When God made Adam and Eve in the garden, they were not made with sin. They were made without sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 45. Quickly, quickly. If you're not there, just look at any page intelligently. Nobody will know. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. And the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. God is telling us here that God made man, Adam, the first Adam, just like he wanted Jesus to be. That's why he's called in the book of Romans chapter 5, the second Adam. Man was made without sin.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? Now, hang on. The first Adam was as sinless as Jesus Christ was.
Amen.
Not until man sinned, Genesis chapter 3, did man become a sinner. Man was not made, listen to this, everybody look at me. If you missed this statement, you missed the whole thing. Man was not made with a sinful nature. When man sinned, we passed it along genetically by death. But man was made without sin. Everybody doing okay? Man's sin brought a sin nature to every human. You're there in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 21. And they asked, help if I was in the right chapter. Sorry. I was back in John chapter 1. I just about blew it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they are Christ at his coming. Now watch this. But God made Adam to live forever. But because of sin, it brought death, and it brought death, but it also brought a sin nature that was transferred genetically to every human through Adam. But man was made without sin. Man chose to sin and passed down to every human being then death genetically. Death genetically comes because of it being a sin nature. Did you know you don't have to teach a child to sin? You know, you don't teach a child to lie. You have to teach them to tell the truth. Children lie automatically. Matter of fact, the Bible says they come forth of the womb lying. Say, how do you know? 2 o'clock in the morning, that thing starts squalling. It's been fed. It's been changed. It's been burped. It's okay. And it's screaming like it's dying. You know it's lying. Amen? Then it begins to walk and talk. As my father would say, Christian parenting is this. Taking 2 years teaching them to walk and talk and the next 16 telling them to sit down and shut up. Pretty close, amen? But man's sin brought a sin nature. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Oh my, I want to read real fast here. Romans chapter 5, because I want God to say it, not me. Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Watch this. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Oh, that's that sin nature, right? Verse 13. For until the law sin was in the world, But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Guess what? Just like sin can be passed upon all men, salvation can be passed upon all men by receiving Jesus Christ. Verse 16, and not as though it was that one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was made to one condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses under justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under the justification of life. For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now look at me. There's so much more I want to say, but I got to keep going here. Jesus had to be robed in flesh and live our righteousness. Listen to this statement. Even if you could live your life down here without sinning, you'd die and go to hell. Because there's also righteousness necessary for salvation. Romans chapter 10. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. This is what happens when a person comes in contact with the gospel and they're lost. And they realize they've been trying to be a good person. They've been baptized. They've joined churches. They've done this. They've done that. But they all of a sudden realize none of those things make you saved. And they hear that Jesus came, that we're all sinners. There's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. And Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, lived our righteousness, and died and resurrected. He shed his blood for us, put it on the mercy seat in heaven, and he did all those things for us. And when we trust him as our Savior and we do what he said, the Bible says he imputes his righteousness to our account. Amen. Not only does he cleanse us from our sin, but that just brings us up to zero. But he adds the righteousness of Jesus' account to our life. That's what gives us the right to enter heaven. It's not just the absence of sin, it is the presence of righteousness. That's like saying, well, my kids are good kids. Okay, show me the good they're doing. Well, they're not getting in trouble. The absence of trouble does not make one good. Just because you're not in trouble doesn't mean you're good. Just means you're not gotten caught yet. Especially if you're of the male gender. By the which there's only two genders. Male and female. Jesus had to be born in flesh that could die so that he could pay our sin debt. Point number one. Point number two. I'm about to come unscrewed. Jesus was born with a body that could die, but he did not have a sin nature. Just as Adam was made without a sin nature, Jesus came as the second Adam without a sin nature. He had to be robed in flesh that could die, but he did not become man when he was born. He's always been the man part of the Godhead. Let us make man in our image. Man was made without sin. Man was made without a sin nature. You're trying to compare him to you now, not God's intent. Everybody doing okay? Now hang on. Adam faced temptation of sin and yielded to it and caused death upon all men. When Adam was tempted, he did not have a sin nature. Jesus faced temptation, Matthew chapter 4, went up into the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted of the devil. But Jesus did not yield to the temptation, just like Adam should not have yielded to the temptation. But Jesus did not have, listen to me, a sin nature. Jesus came to live our righteousness. By the way, how did he whip the devil? He said, it is written.
Yes, sir.
It is written. Amen. The scripture says, by the way, quoting the Old Testament, it's as much scripture as the New Testament.
Yes.
Jesus was born in flesh, but he was not born with a sin nature. Luke chapter 1, look at it with me. Luke chapter 1. Many will read the Christmas story in Luke 2 and Luke chapter 1 and things this week, and I'm for that. But look at Luke chapter 1. Luke at. I'm talking like an Italian. Luke at. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, not the Son of Mary.
Amen.
Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 23. Oh, my soul, hurry. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now watch this. And knew her not, what's the next word? Till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph and Mary got married, but they never had a physical relationship until after the birth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By the way, the Catholics will tell you that Joseph was an old man who had other children before he married Mary, and he couldn't have brought forth seed of her, and that's where Jesus's brothers and sisters came from. That's a filthy lie. Because Matthew chapter 1 said he knew her not till. Are we doing okay? You see, Joseph knew her not till. Jesus, by the way, pretty awesome thing if she had six kids outside of Jesus, immaculately conceived also. Because he had four brothers and two sisters that we know of, or five. I don't know, something like that. More than just Jesus. Jesus faced temptation, but he chose not to yield to it. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 teaches us. Let me turn there. You don't need to turn there. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. There it is. Hang on. No, it's not. Yeah, it'd help if I can get my fingers working right. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. God can't sin.
Amen.
Jesus is God.
Amen.
He had to be robed in flesh so that he could put on a body that could pay our sin debt. But he did not have a sin nature. Jesus lived our righteousness that we were supposed to live. In the same body we were made with. Everybody doing okay? Jesus was born with flesh or robed so that he could die. But Jesus never had a sin nature, just like the first Adam and Eve did not have a sin nature until they sinned. Did you realize his actions and reactions were never sinful? Jesus never reacted in a sinful way. How'd you like to have been one of his brothers or sisters? Jesus did it. No, he didn't. Well, he never does anything wrong, he thinks. He didn't. Can you imagine growing up being one of Jesus' brothers or sisters? Man, what a trashy job that would have been. Did you know Jesus never had a bad thought? Jesus never had a hurtful thought. As a robe. You ladies know what I mean by a robe. It only covers. It doesn't change who you are. A robe is an outer covering. Jesus had to be covered in flesh. He had to be robed in flesh to cover his deity, but it did not change his deity. Jesus did not leave his deity in heaven to come to earth. He didn't cease being God to come to earth. He came to earth to put on a robe of flesh to live the life we were supposed to live. So that men could cough in their throats the vileness of their bodies and spit in his face and crucify him to pay for our sin debt. He did not exchange this body for his deity. He robed it in flesh. Number three. He who had no sin, he who had no sin nature, the Bible says, became sin for us. Amen. I don't get it. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5. Look at verse 21. For he hath made him, robed him, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin, he who could not sin became sin. He took our sin on him. He was willing to take the blame of every wrong thing you've ever done, every wrong thing, right thing that you didn't do that you should have done, every possible sin you've ever done multiplied by billions. He did that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 24. Let's go back to verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 21. For even thereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us. leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. What are those steps? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. In other words, he never said something that he should have not said. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own, what? Body on a tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto the righteousness by whose stripes we are healed. Did you catch what it said? He who did nothing wrong took all our wrong upon him. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. I believe, is this passage school's memorizing? Isaiah 53, verse number 3. I'd love to read the whole chapter. I'm not going to right now for time's sake. Isaiah 53, look at verse number 3 with me. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. Look at me. Jesus never one time disappointed God. I wished I could look back at my dad and tell him I've never disappointed him. I wish I could look at my church and tell you, I've never disappointed you. But I can't, because I'm a sinner. But Jesus never one time disappointed God. Not once. And he took on him our sin. He took all of our sin and placed it on his record. And said, God, I'm willing to do that for you to get back what you want. See, people say, he suffered our hell on the cross. He did. He didn't suffer our hell in hell. He suffered it on the cross. Let me show you how. I'm not going to take time to turn to the scripture, but you know it. When they hung Jesus on the cross, he hung for 9 hours. That's after a brutal beating to where they literally took a cat of nine tails, striking him on the back 39 times with 9 lashes on each time. Roman soldiers could literally pull a man's guts out through his back. Then they put a robe on him to hold him together so they could torture him longer. Took a crown of thorns that had 4 to 6 inch long thorns in it, put it on his head, and beat it with sticks into his skull. They took their hands and ripped handfuls of his beard out at a time, ripping it out of his face. They spit on him. They mocked him. They took that robe and after walking up Calvary's trail, ripped it off his back, reopening all of those wounds. Throw him down on the ground and took something similar to a railroad spike and pounded it into the base of his palm on each hand and nailed his feet to that cross. Hoisted it up and dropped it into a hole probably 5 to 6 feet deep. It would take that deep to hold up the weight of a man. When that thing hit the bottom of that hole, every joint in his body shook out of place. There was a bar placed between his legs, and in order to breathe, Jesus had to lift himself up off the bar and then let himself back down to breathe for 9 hours. Our Savior did that. He was no sissy, long-haired little maggot, queer little dude-digger prancing when he walked. There ain't no sodomite that's that tough. Jesus was no sissy of a man. Bible says he was beaten so badly they couldn't tell if it was a man or an animal hanging on that cross. Says his visage was so marred. Bible says in the sixth hour, listen to this. In the sixth hour, God turned the lights out. Said that the sun was darkened. Everything went black. And for 3 hours, there was people afraid to move. It was just total silence. While Jesus hung there. Say, why was it dark? It's God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit had to turn their back on Jesus as he became sin for us. He's the light. He's the light of the world. And God had to turn his back on man, on his own son. He could not look at sin. And for 3 hours, Jesus Christ hung without the presence of God in his life. Hell is total darkness because there's no presence of God there. The worst part of hell is not the fire. It is the absence of the presence of God. And as Jesus hung there after 3 hours, he makes a statement. These are the last words he speaks. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he say it twice? My God, the Father. My God, the Holy Spirit. Why have you forsaken me? I can't take it. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. Thank you. My friend, that's the Christmas story. It's not one component at all. Oh, by the way, when he died, the Bible says the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. The earth shook. The graves were open. And everybody who was saved from before Jesus on sat up in their graves. Can you imagine what that looked like? No wonder the Roman soldier said, truly this was the Son of God. What's even creepier? 3 days and three nights later, Jesus resurrected. And he came into town with many of the people that were sitting up in their graves. Man, you talk about the world turned upside down. I love it. It wasn't just another baby born. It wasn't just a baby born because he forgot to make hotel reservations and had to be born in a barn. It wasn't just a baby born and hung in a box on a wall that was used to feed animals. It was God. Robed in flesh. Not becoming man, just robing himself in a body that could die. Let's not look at one component. Let's take the whole thing. Please don't take this the wrong way. Oh, this is the holy season. Everywhere I go, people that know me as a pastor, oh, I bet you you're busy during Advent and all these. I said, no busier than any other Sunday. Well, this is Holy Week and we've got, every week's holy. Jesus came, robed himself in flesh, lived the life we were made to live. And he did it without a sin nature, because that's the way we were created. And became sin. Oh, you say the veil was rent in the temple? What's so important about that? In the Old Testament, he had something called the tabernacle. Then it became the temple. You had the outer courtyard. You had the holy place that all of the priests could go into. But there was a place, a room called the Holy of Holies. In it was a piece of furniture, a little bigger than the Lord's Supper table. On it sat a gold seat called the mercy seat. In it, there were three things, and I'm not going to go into that. But only one time a year could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies, and was to bring a blood sacrifice. He had to cleanse himself at the laver, sacrifice a lamb that had been put up and was a perfect lamb. Take the blood in a bowl with a hyssop weed, walk through the courtyard, walk into the holy place, table of showbread on the right, candlestick on the left, the altar of incense before him, the thick curtain, the veil in the temple, go under that veil and go into the Holy of Holies. Take that hyssop weed, dip it in the blood, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. The Shekinah glory of God would come down and fill that holy place for a time. And the high priest would come back out. He would stand before the congregation and say, "It is finished." My friend, Jesus died at Calvary as our sacrifice, but he resurrected as our high priest. We no longer need somebody to go into the veil for us because he resurrected as our high priest. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because when he came out of the grave, Mary saw him, and when he spoke, she said, "Rabboni." She went to hug him, and he said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father." If the high priest were touched by a human hand or just brushed up against a person and he went into the Holy of Holies without rewashing, he would be killed immediately in the Holy of Holies. He could not be touched by sin. Jesus said, "Mary, don't touch me. I've got to go to heaven. You go tell my brethren, I'll meet him at church tonight," Sunday night church. It was the first day of the week. He said, "I'll meet him at the church tonight. I got business to do with God." He ascended to heaven. Bible says that the tabernacle in the wilderness was patterned after the real tabernacle, Hebrews, in heaven. And he walked into heaven's throne room, Brother Bob. And he said, "Father, here's my hands, my side, my feet." We say they're nail scarred. Bible says nail prints. Believe he still could get blood out of them. He reached with his hands and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. And he looked at his father and said, "I promised you. Now it's paid in full." See, he sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat. We no longer need the picture of it. Jesus fulfilled it. That's what it's all about. You don't get to heaven by what you do. You get to heaven by what he did. You don't get to heaven by your righteousness. You get to heaven by his righteousness. That's why as a 4.5-year-old boy, said this in Sunday school. A man preached on hell one day. He was a Vietnam vet with one leg. Had a peg leg, wooden peg. I thought he was a pirate. He got up and preached on hell that day, scared it out of me. Gave an invitation and I walked over to my Sunday school teacher and tugged on her dress and said, I don't want to die and go to a place like that. We knelt at a little kindergarten style chair. My Sunday school teacher opened that book, showed a little boy how to get to heaven. I don't even know her name. I know someday I'm going to get to see her in heaven. I hope I'm adding a couple gold bricks to her mansion. She doesn't know who she won to the Lord that day. Neither does that preacher. But by the way, do you know that almost 30 years later, my dad was with me. He can verify this. I'm not sure if he was with me on that one trip or not. But my aunt and uncle ran a girls' home in Mississippi. Went to preach there. I told the story and gave the man's name. I never do it, but I did for some reason then. And I gave the man's name that preached and that I got saved. Gave the invitation. A couple girls came forward, got saved that night. My aunt came up to me and said, Craig, come here. Yes, ma'am. She said, you got to hear this. I said, okay. This girl's just crying. I mean, it looked like a train wreck. I mean, makeup and mask. I mean, it just looked like mud balls coming down her cheeks. Bless her heart. And she said, just a... And she said, I just got saved. And I thought, man, she really got it. She said, that's not... My aunt, that's not it. I said, okay. She finally got her composure. She said, you remember that story you were telling about? I said, which one? She said, about that man that was preaching when you got saved. I said, yes. She said, that was my grandpa. Well, glory! That man did not know that day he preached that a boy got saved that would one day be responsible for his granddaughter getting saved. Amen. Only God can do that, folks.
Yes, sir. Amen.
As we celebrate Christmas, let's look at the whole thing, not just part of it.
Amen.
It's the whole package, not just one component. It's a package deal. That's why religion wants to focus on Jesus as a baby or as a dying man. They don't want anything in between. They don't want a resurrected Savior or a righteous life. They just want somebody that they can hold and snuggle, or they can get mad at because he died, or adore him because he died. That's it. Let's look at the whole package of the gospel. And it began with the virgin birth. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I could go on for hours. I'm not. What a good God we have. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Do you raise your hand? God bless you. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I die today? I don't know for sure. I've never trusted Jesus Christ and that alone to take me to heaven. I'll not call your name. I'll not embarrass you. You could have been a member of this church as long as I have been. Doesn't matter to me. You say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I've been saved. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Do you raise your hand? Many, many, many hands. In a moment, we'll stand. When we do, Brother Randy will begin to play. When he begins to play, many ought to be at this altar thanking God for the whole package, not just a baby being born. Maybe we ought to thank God for what he's done for us. Maybe God spoke to your heart about something. Maybe we shouldn't be so ashamed to talk to others about him.